It's Monday, September 25th, 2006. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Durant, Oklahoma. Good evening, and welcome to a recorded Skype cast of a conversation that I had last week on Thursday, September the 21st, as I drove probably about 250 miles over the course of the day between a couple Oklahoma towns, and at about 5 o'clock found myself in Henrietta, Oklahoma, where I found my way to the public library that had free internet access and got on the Skype line. I actually ended up calling the cell phone of Tim Donovan, who I had visited with previously to set up the Skype cast. And Tim is one of the four founders of MBE, and MBE.com is a website that caught my attention several months ago as a safe digital social networking environment for students. And at that time, MBE was really marketed, I think, more towards parents. But recently they announced a Teachers in Classrooms initiative, and I was really eager to learn more about MBE. One of the most important things that you might be wondering, if this is a tool that you'd like to use in the classroom, is that indeed MBE is completely free. And while they had started out on a subscription model, they have since changed that, and so participation in MBE is completely free. I will just preface this with two quick comments, and then we'll get right into the Skype cast. The first one is that, as you may have heard me say before when I've talked about safe digital social networking, which is something I'm really passionate for and a real advocate for, I think we need to look at students using the internet for social networking purposes a lot like we look at teenagers driving cars. We typically don't hand kids keys without any period of formal apprenticeship and learning, and without having adults involved in helping them hopefully learn how to make good decisions and better decisions. We expect kids to make mistakes when they're driving, but we want them to be in an environment where they can make mistakes and the costs are not too high, and the opportunity is there for the adults to interact and correct and basically dialogue with students about what's happening. And I think the same thing's true with social networking. The metaphor is actually mentioned by Tim in the Skype cast, but it bears mentioning that this is also not only a little like driving, it's also like parents that might let their students go out to play, or I say students, their kids, go out to play in the backyard of a neighbor, where they can look into the backyard, and that backyard is fenced, it's, you know, relatively safe. The likelihood of someone from the street just jumping into the backyard to interact with the kids is pretty minimal. But yet there is a degree of freedom that the kids have when they're back there playing. And MBE really is similar in that regard. So I really encourage you to check this out. I definitely think I'm going to be speaking a lot about this topic of safe digital social networking. In fact, the Hawaii Library Association has invited me to come keynote their annual conference, which is in Honolulu, I'm pretty excited about, coming up in November. And I was contacted by another Kansas Educators Association today about presenting at one of their conferences next April on this same topic. So safe digital social networking is something that we need to be talking with kids about, and we also need to be looking for practical solutions. And by solutions, I don't mean something that's going to solve all our problems, but environments where we cannot just talk the talk of safe digital social networking, but walk the walk together with students. And along with Think.com, which I've done a podcast before and explored previously, thanks to Cheryl Oaks in Wells, Maine, I think MBE.com is another environment that is really a great one for teachers to consider checking out, and anyone who is a parent working with students and interested in helping them learn the skills of safe digital social networking. To introduce and kind of get formally started here, we're on a Skype call with Tim Donovan. And where are you actually located on the planet today?
We're located in Emeryville, California, which is in the East Bay, just outside of San Francisco, California.
Okay, and I happen to be in Henrietta, Oklahoma, which is kind of in the middle of the state on I-40, and the public library, which happens to have free wireless access and thankfully is not blocking Skype. So we wanted to talk a little bit about IMB and the specifically IMB Teachers program that you guys have started off with. And why don't you just, if you would, go ahead and tell people why, if they're a school teacher or they're involved in education at all, they should be interested in IMB. And I guess IMB is specifically targeted at students 8 to 14, if I'm correct. Why should people be interested in IMB and interested in the topics and issues that it raises for students and parents and teachers?
Okay, well, let me give you a little overview. We developed IMB as a destination where children who are graduating online, who are interested in exploring the Internet, could do so in a safe and secure environment. So IMB is really about providing a destination where children can learn how to communicate or how to create content or how to socialize, but to do so with an environment that was designed from the ground floor up to keep them safe and secure. So a couple things to note about IMB. First, as a destination, we're COPPA compliant, and that means we make sure that any of the content or information related to our kid members remains private and protected. So that means you can't search for their information outside of IMB, and you can't search for it inside of IMB. The second thing is that we make sure that we authenticate people who are part of our network, and that's really important when you think about the fact that the Internet is the great equalizer, and children really need to know, or at least they should be able to network with people who really are legitimately who they say they are. We also provide an environment where parents help their children negotiate those important relationships online for the first time. For teachers, it's a nation because it provides students with the opportunity to use many of the features they're attracted to with spaces like Bebo and Zanga and MySpace, including blogging, the ability to create a profile, and the ability to send messages. However, this is really about just for kids. So it's a closed environment. It's an environment where educators and parents can participate passively, and that means they can view any of the content that's developed by kids or students. They can look at any of the communications activities between kids and students, and they can participate also actively by sending messages and interacting with their students. So it really does provide a destination that for kids. It provides the fun and excitement and the features they're interested in. And for educators and parents, it's a destination that gives them peace of mind knowing that their students are protected, that their students' content or their child's content is kept secure, and it gives them the ability to have some insight and the ability to set parameters related to any of the activities that their kids might be involved with.
That is great, because definitely when people hear the words blog and they hear about social networking, a lot of times people just think danger and ban, and they don't understand that we definitely have a lot of options as far as tools, and that, you know, it is possible to comply. Now, you didn't say SEPA. You said something else that you were compliant with. What was that that you just mentioned right off the top in terms of being the protected environment?
Yeah, COPPA compliance, so the Child Online Privacy Protection Act. And that really means that anybody who's part of our network, the content that they develop, the blogs that they develop, the messages that they create and send to their friends, remains inaccessible to people that shouldn't have access to it. So I'll give you an example. With, say, MySpace or Bebo or Zanga, if somebody has a blog and a profile in those destinations, for the most part, relatively easy to index using a search engine to find that person's blog or profile. We felt it was really important that when you're particularly talking about children, that the information that they develop has to remain secure, because oftentimes kids will say things or publish information that really is personal. And these are mistakes that the kids are bound to make, but it's better that these mistakes are made in a private, secure environment where people who shouldn't have access to their data or information don't.
Right, definitely. Well, you launched originally as a, I think, a service and website that maybe might have been more targeted at individual families and parents, and now you've got the teachers and schools. Can you talk a little bit about how the teachers and schools program is different? I've, you know, perused the materials, and I know there's a teacher kit that's sort of similar, but, you know, this is a unique offering, I think. And how is it different than what just a parent had when they were signing up for IMB, or MB, I'm sorry.
Yeah. To your point, we did launch this as a destination for kids and families, but as a result of our initial launch, we had been contacted by many educators who are really advocates of using technology in their classroom. And they had asked us if there was any chance that we could extend the benefits of MB to educators who are looking to bring internet or online activities into their classroom. So we said yes, of course, and we went back to the drawing board and we decided to create a program. It's a free program for any educator who teaches kids between the ages of 8 and 14. And the program includes free access for the teacher and classroom, the ability for the teacher to sign up their class. When a teacher does register, he or she will receive a registration kit, which includes information about MB, permission slips for parents, and a brochure for parents so they understand what MB is all about, the features, and, of course, the protection. And then in addition to that, we've also started to develop a series of lesson plans. Our first lesson plans really speak to basic things like how to create a blog, what is a profile, how would you set up a message account? Some very, very basic things related to MB's features. But we are hoping that based on the feedback from teachers that we'll develop a broader base of curriculum that might tie into different subject areas. So, but that'll be probably a couple weeks down the road before we start putting in more curriculum.
Okay. Well, one of the things I noticed was it looked like this would lend itself really well, maybe even more so than Think.com, which is another resource that's out there for social networking for schools, for communication, you know, directly with students. So is the inbox feature, you know, there available within the circle of, I guess it says circle of friends, but is it circle of students, or is the language still the same for the teacher and the students, and they've got that ability, I guess, to not only blog but also use the messaging service within the system? Is that correct?
That's correct. So the circle of friends is really people that have been approved by that child's parents for the certainly, even though the vernacular is still circle of friends, it also includes fellow students, classmates, and educators. So a teacher will be able to communicate both individually and en masse to their classroom for all the students that have completed the registration process and have received parental approval. And also, parents will be able to communicate both with their child and with the teacher of that particular class. So it's a great way to keep educators, parents, and students all interacting and connected together.
That is great. So, and also, obviously, a great way to increase parent communication and really get the parents involved. Well, do the parents have a role in terms of approval if the teacher sets this up? I know if you're a parent and you set up the account, you get to basically decide what level you want to moderate things, whether you want to approve each post or, you know, just have access to see it, or there's different choices. How does that work as far as the teacher, and then is the parent still involved in, as far as moderating anything, or just pretty much having access to see what the student's doing?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. So parents are always required to complete the registrations process before any of our kid members can interact and communicate with other members. So they'll be involved in the completion of the registration process. And then they can also be part in terms of how to set parameters for their child as it relates to class blogging activities. But most parents, to be honest, will put our control panel on monitor mode, and that means at the end of the day, they get an email that encompasses all the communications, blogging, messaging activities that their child has been been involved with. So this would be a great way for parents to passively look at any of the activities related to a class environment. Teachers can go ahead and interact with students. They can send messages. They can do assignments. They can add blog entries. And parents will always receive a report that will also include any of the teacher's communications, too. So it's a great way for everybody to kind of stay in the loop together.
That is great. Well, if we wanted to have a metaphor, you may already have one in mind, but I'm just kind of thinking about, you know, students like to go to playgrounds, go play. Students may also like to go to the mall, but, you know, it can be dangerous to venture out in an unsupervised situation. And so it sounds like what we're talking about with MBE is really an environment that involves some parental and some adult moderation and monitoring of what's going on, and really a fence that's been built up around this environment so that people who are not specifically invited to join, you know, can't even see into the playground, so to speak, as far as the environment for blogging and messaging between students. Is that an accurate sort of metaphor for what you all have constructed virtually?
Yes, and or I have another one. When I grew up in a small neighborhood, there was always one house for all the kids in the neighborhood. Like to play in the backyard. You know, it was large, you could run around, and of course, parents could look out the kitchen window and just check up on everybody to make sure that everybody was behaving nicely and having a good time. So, in many ways, MBE is sort of like that digital backyard where kids can get together that are friends, that live on the same block, that go to school together, that maybe in the same sports club, and their parents have that kitchen window, which is really our parental dashboard, that gives them the ability to kind of check in on them while they're having fun and being entertained or while they're hanging out talking with their friends. So, yes, it is a closed environment, but it's really a closed community, a closed neighborhood.
And I think it's great that the teacher kit is there and available, and, you know, definitely teachers aren't going to want to go out on their own without, you know, their administrator and other people in their school district, you know, knowing what they're doing, because this is a pretty innovative sort of thing, I would think, for a lot of areas. But the fact that you're explicitly giving, you know, the support to the teacher to get the parental permission, you know, and getting everybody in the loop, it's not going to be like a teacher's going to, you know, be able to be even get this thing off the ground without having the parents involved and having a lot of people signing up and basically being in the loop. So I guess that's a real positive. And it certainly allows for certain parents to say no if they're not wanting their child to participate, correct?
That's correct. Parents are in control. They stay in the loop. But, you know, it does give them now a viable option where their kids can start to explore the internet and start to explore online education and activities, things of that nature, in a way that comes natural for kids, but also in a way that gives parents peace of mind. And I should also mention this as well, that we have been speaking to a couple of the technical organizations that are instrumental in bringing the technology into the K-12 schools, including ITSE and COSIN and Q. And they're very interested in this project, as well as to mention that we're just about to receive our first safety endorsement from a nationally recognized internet safety organization called WebWise Kids. And they're part of Project Safe Childhood, which is an initiative, a national initiative, to increase education and safety awareness in K-12 schools. So we're very pleased to be recognized by this organization, and this is one of three endorsements that we're about to receive. So it seems like people are ready to allow kids to start to explore online, and that we just need destinations that are really appropriate for where they're at and what they need.
That is absolutely fantastic. I'm a big believer that in internet safety curriculum, we can't just tell kids not to do stuff. We also need to give them opportunities to practice safe behavior. So it sounds like that's exactly what MBE is. And it also reminds me of another technology term I heard recently, sort of called sandboxing, when, you know, somebody's going to set up something on their computer and they're basically going to have a safe environment where they're going to be able to try different things, and, you know, they're not going to mess up their system. And when we think about you know, Bebo and Zanga and MySpace, I mean, kids are writing their permanent record on the public internet, and I know that I mean, whether it's a sorority or fraternity rush or an employer looking at hiring somebody who's a recent graduate, I mean, these kind of things are out on the public internet, and kids oftentimes aren't thinking about those things. So MBE really is going to provide a good opportunity for kids to experiment and, you know, make mistakes, but for adults, like you said, to be peering out the window, monitoring what's going on, and then hopefully intervene and help those kids learn. And I like the analogy of driving. You know, we don't tend to give kids the keys to cars when they become teenagers without a period of mentorship and apprenticeship. And so it seems like MBE really has that as a guiding spirit. And I'm glad to hear that you guys are being recognized by some internet safety organizations, and hopefully that'll provide more traction for other people to get on board.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, we're really excited about it, too. And we really believe that the winning combination in getting kids to develop really sound internet skills that keep them safe is not only education, but as you said, destinations. So I encourage anybody who might be thinking about creating sites for children to really think about what they need and how to develop a site that gives them the opportunity to explore organically, but make sure that they're safe and make sure that any of the content they develop remains private.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a cost question. I know if you signed up as an individual, it seemed like there was some kind of an option as far as the parent paying or whatever. How does is any cost involved at all if teachers and schools are doing this, or if the parent is involved?
No, there's no cost to join whatsoever. I mean, we originally had thought about a subscription, a very small subscription fee, but we have since decided that it's much more important to be providing a destination where families, kids, and educators can come and experiment freely. So there's no cost to join. There will be no cost to join in the future. All of the features for MBE are free. And that's, I think, you know, for teachers, that's, I know that one is one of the major concerns is, will this cost me? Will there be cost down the road? And we made our program specific so that it will never be any costs related to any of the teaching programs. So I encourage any educator that's looking for this type of solution to give it a try.
And who is Industrious Kid? That's who sponsors MBE. What is that company, and who I know that, like in the case of Think.com, it's sponsored by the Oracle Foundation. Who's behind MBE?
Well, that's also my company, and I'm one of four founding partners, and the moniker or the goal for Industrious Kid is to develop age-appropriate, secure online destinations for kids and tweens. So we have another product coming out that will teach kids about the fundamentals of online banking and e-commerce. All of our products are really based on more adult applications, but we've changed them and made them more suitable for kids who are now going online so that they have a better sense of what the internet can do or mean to them. So look, Industrious Kid will be continuing to develop more products, all for this age demographic. So look for more of these products in the next couple quarters.
That is great. Well, one more question, and you know, I have played and I guess use a little bit the Think.com environment. One of the things that does, it's set up on a school basis, but the administrator for the school can sort of determine if the students are going to just interact with their class or if they're going to be able to interact with students in the Think.com environment but not within their same school. Can you explicitly address a little bit how MBE may have similarities and differences, or I guess just specifically how it differentiates itself from that environment, if you're familiar with it, or just on the issue of friends? My understanding is they can interact with other admitted students, right, that aren't in their class but that have been approved by their parent to be part of the community.
Yeah, I mean, I would say this, in terms of how our members can interact, they will obviously have the ability to interact with kids that would be in their class that have been approved by their educator or their teacher and their parent. But they're also have the ability to have friendships outside of that class, developing a group feature, which will allow kids to be part of different types of groups based on affinity and interest and things of that nature. Again, kids that know each other. That feature will be out at the end of October. And that'll allow kids to have some fluidness between with certain groups that they're involved with and certain groups that they would like to join. So I'll be able to provide you with more information probably in the next 2 weeks on that.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Well, I appreciate the time, Tim. And is there any final message that you'd want to give people out there that might be listening to the podcast and thinking about doing this sort of thing as part of an internet safety or just a digital literacy type curriculum addition that they're going to do in their school?
Yeah, I think that a couple comments is that the internet is not just for adults anymore, and we really need to start providing our children with destinations that do more than just entertainment. So, and destinations that really are tailor-made for where they're at and their experience level and their knowledge base. So keeping kids secure but allowing them to be able to explore naturally, I think, is going to be a very important thing. So I encourage everybody to sort of embrace these new technologies, understand that the internet is very organic to children, and they're going online. Many more are going online each and every day. So the onus is really on us as adults and as parents and as aunts and uncles and as teachers to provide or find destinations that work for our kids to keep them safe.
Okay. Well, super. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for your work. And we'll hope that lots of folks will check out MB and be looking for additional feature sets, but also more things from Industrious Kid. And we appreciate your work and look forward to getting more kids literate and hopefully making good choices in the online environment as a result of their experiences with MB and with other digital tools.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed the conference.
Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcasts are independently produced and syndicated for a global audience by Wesley Fryer, and are shared under a Creative Commons Attribution 2.5 license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.